Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on the investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election has been released. The document is 448 pages long and includes color-coded redactions with explanations behind each one. In a statement this morning, Attorney General William Barr said there was no cooperation between President Trump and the Russians.
After nearly 2 years of investigation, thousands of subpoenas, hundreds of warrants and witness interviews, the special counsel confirmed that the Russian government sponsored efforts to illegally interfere with the 2016 presidential election, but did not find that the Trump campaign or other Americans colluded in those efforts.
While the report shows no evidence of collusion, it did say that Trump tried to sideline some key players, but that there's not enough proof that he obstructed justice. Democrats are calling foul on the way the report was released and want Mueller to testify before Congress in the next few weeks. Lowell Barrington is an associate professor and chair of the political science department at Marquette University and has been following all of this from the start. Lowell, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Judith. Welcome to good to be with you.
and welcome to Mueller Day, I think is probably where you were going.
Yeah, there we go.
Today's remarks by Attorney General Barr, along with the release of the Mueller report, seem to line up with the summary that Barr offered last month. Did you see any big conflicts between the two?
Well, I think clearly the Democrats are very concerned that, in fact, there's a lot of details in the report that didn't line up with the initial letter and maybe in some ways didn't sort of neatly line up even with the statement Barr made today. I think there is evidence of certainly a lot of cooperation and I would argue in a way collusion in the sense of just two sides working together without that direct connection in a way that, you know, Mueller really had a very high bar for that. So it really is in some ways how we want to define collusion. There was not the level of criminal conspiracy, or Mueller even talks about not showing coordination, but that's because he has a very high standard for that in terms of having an agreement to cooperate as part of that. So I think there was certainly a lot of back and forth and a lot of following on the actions of others, but not something that Mueller felt comfortable and Barr certainly would agree, showing conspiracy.
So clearly there's no way that any one person could have digested all 448 pages today. So we are not expecting that from you, Lowell. But, you know, from what you're reading and seeing and hearing, what is your takeaway from the investigation and the report?
I think two big takeaways. Maybe one is, again, the part of it on what the Russians did is very well spelled out by Mueller. Clearly, there was significant actions by Russia. And while it, again, may not have involved the kind of level of agreement to cooperate that would have led to charges of conspiracy, there was significant and effective actions by Russia. The second piece of it is that the obstruction part of the document is much more complicated and nuanced than I think Barr has been presenting. He said that he had determined the acts were not criminal obstruction and was very definitive about that. Mueller's own statements are much less definitive in the report, and I think as you read through that part, there are certainly a large number of actions that people would be quite concerned about in the obstruction section.
And so what is criminal obstruction and why was that not a bar that could be met?
Well, one of the ways that it's defined, and this is actually laid out in the text of the report, is that there has to be an act and that act has to be connected to some kind of potential action that could happen to the person, so charges or something like that. It has to have been contemplated to sort of have an impact, and then it needs to have some kind of corrupt intent behind it. And so there's a lot of things that have to happen. And even with that high bar, what we really got from Mueller is him saying, we don't have a clear-cut case for charging charging obstruction, but here is the evidence that people could look at. And so there's a lot of details about those different incidences that were investigated as examples of possible obstruction.
Here's Attorney General Barr from this morning's statement talking about the obstruction issue.
After carefully reviewing the facts and legal theories outlined in the report and in consultation with the Office of Legal Counsel and other department lawyers, the Deputy Attorney General and I concluded that the evidence developed by the special counsel is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense.
Now, Lowell, the report specifically said that President Trump is not exonerated. It did say that it did not have enough to charge with obstruction. How does this play for President Trump? Does it damage him? Does he emerge unscathed? There's somewhere in between.
Oh, I think this was a good day politically for him, particularly because of Barr's efforts to frame the report before it came out. So a lot of people saw the ways that it was portrayed by Barr and therefore may not have paid quite as much attention to the details once it came out. As I think in that aspect, it is a good day for Trump. And again, in a general way, it also is in that it does show certainly much less coordination and perhaps even many fewer efforts to obstruct than some people might have thought were actually going on. So in some ways, again, I think it's a good day overall. But I would be careful if I were the White House and getting too excited about today, because, again, if you start reading through the details of the obstruction sections, they lay out in those things that I was talking about before, about whether there was a particular act and whether it was something that, again, that had criminal or corrupt intent, and that whether there was kind of contemplation about the impact, all that. They walk through all those. And in a lot of these instances, many of them, I would read the wording to say were cleared in terms of that bar. I mean, they actually got above that. And the other thing is that in a lot of cases, either the issue was a kind of lack of full evidentiary support. So it was not that there wasn't evidence. It was just there wasn't enough evidence to make Mueller feel comfortable that we have reached that standard. And in some cases, in a lot of ways, to be honest, the president may have been saved by his own aides refusing to follow through on orders, because when they did not act in ways that he had requested them to, in some cases, that may have saved him from essentially there not really being an act. There was a request, but not an actual act of obstruction.
We're talking with Lowell Barrington. He's associate professor of political science at Marquette University, talking about the release of the redacted but full Mueller report today. And let's go to the phones. And Cole in Sun Prairie is up first. Hi, Cole.
Hi. So I have a couple of comments that I just want to say. I think I have to thoroughly disagree with your guests on the interpretation of the report, saying that Mueller didn't find enough evidence that was a conclusion. Because the way that I read it was that there were multiple points, 10-plus points of obstruction of justice pointed out that Mueller emphatically it pointed out to Congress that it was within their responsibilities and their right to hold the president accountable for those cases of obstruction of justice. And it's interesting because your guest points out that, you know, his aides might have saved him by not carrying out orders. Well, those orders in and of themselves should meet a level of obstruction that Congress should hold up. And my last point is that when we talk about the supposed absolution of collusion, I would again completely disagree with that. As in the Mueller, in this report, there are multiple outlines for criminal conspiracy, least of which that seems to be forgotten is Manafort's handing over of political polling data to the Russians. And if that's not conspiracy to collude, I don't know what is. And I guess I wouldn't mind hearing your guest's take on that specific point there.
Great. Thanks for that comment and question, Cole. Lowell, how would you respond?
Well, I actually think we're not as different in our views as Cole thought we were. I did say, in fact, that I personally think the report does show collusion. I have a different take on what that means, perhaps, than some people on the right, or even maybe Attorney General Barr do, in the sense if we're talking about two sides working together and perhaps sometimes through a third party like WikiLeaks, there clearly are examples of collusion. The polling question, by the way, is a very interesting one, because again, the question is, was there evidence that anything was done with that? That it's not illegal for somebody in the campaign to give somebody internal polling data. It's not the normal thing that happens, but that alone isn't the question. The question was if that was done in a coordinated way to have particular kinds of targeting done as a result, and if that crossed some threshold of illegality, then there would be an issue. I think I know, in fact, Mueller looked at that topic. I think the question or one of the questions is what was done with those polling data, and if we can't establish that, it's hard to probably say there was an actual criminal act in that case.
Lowell, let's spend just a couple minutes talking about what was redacted and why. What were the reasons that were given for eliminating some of the information from the report before it was released?
Well, first of all, I'll say it's very interesting reading through because there sometimes are page after page after page of no redactions, and then there are very heavily redacted sections where entire pages are blacked out. So as somebody is reading through it, again, it's interesting to try to make sense of where there were redactions and where there weren't. But we do have basically four categories of redactions. So the grand jury testimony, and essentially everyone would agree with this, needs to be redacted. The methods of intelligence gathering, again, I think pretty much everyone would agree that that's something we want redacted from a public report because we don't want to compromise our intelligence community and their efforts to collect evidence about what foreign governments are doing to harm us. So that was redacted. The potential harm to sort of personal privacy for people who were connected but perhaps a little bit peripherally or on the edge of things, that one's a little dicier to me. I mean, in the sense that where the line is of where their privacy is threatened and how innocent someone has to be in a way for the redaction to come into play is a lot less clear than the other ones. So that's an interesting one. The one that as you read through is everywhere in a way. And in fact, Barr this morning said ahead of time, this is far more than the others, the thing that led to redactions, was a harm to ongoing investigations. And again, I would say most people would agree for the need for that kind of information to be redacted. You don't want to compromise witnesses, you know, figuring out things and changing their stories or something like that. You wouldn't want that evidence out if there's an ongoing investigation. But it certainly signals the huge number of ongoing points of contention that Mueller either did not resolve or passed on. And there is reference to 14 investigations of information that Mueller referred to those investigations as opposed to handling himself. That, again, is one of those points that I would say why the White House needs to be a little careful about celebrating too hard today.
We're talking with Lowell Barrington about today's release of the Mueller report and what happens now. He's an associate professor and chair of the political science department at Marquette University. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to the Mueller report or Attorney General William Barr's announcement? Has your opinion changed now that the full but redacted report is out? And should this be the end of the story or are there still questions that need to be answered? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
And they're having a good day. I'm having a good day, too. It was called No Collusion, No Obstruction.
This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. That was President Trump during an event today for Wounded Warriors reacting to the much-anticipated release of the Mueller report. It said there was no collusion between the Trump campaign or any other U.S. citizen and the Russian government. It also found no evidence of obstruction, though it said it does not exonerate President Trump either. Lowell Barrington is our guest. He's an associate professor and chair of the political science department at Marquette University and has been following the Mueller investigation closely. And you can weigh in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. What stands out most to you about the Mueller report? Are you convinced that President Trump is in the clear, or do some of the details seem questionable to you? What do you want to see happen next? Do you agree with the president that those who launched the investigation should now be investigated themselves? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@WPR.org. Barr.org. And Lowell, Democrats are criticizing Barr's performance this morning. They say he was wrong to hold a press briefing before the public release of the report and accused him of conducting a campaign event for President Trump. Here's House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler.
Attorney General Barr appears to have shown an unsettling willingness to undermine his own department in order to protect President Trump. Barr's words and actions suggest he has been disingenuous and misleading in saying the president is clear of wrongdoing.
And Lowell, what's your take on Attorney General Barr's presentation today?
Well, I would not go as far as to say it was a campaign speech, but it certainly, again, echoed in a lot of ways the initial letter that he sent out, including, again, using language that the White House has used on this in a way that he didn't have to do. So it's interesting that he chose to do that. I think the other thing, that there were some statements that just frankly are flat wrong that he made, and including basically saying that the president fully cooperated with the special counsel. And that's just not true. If you read the report in terms of the written statements the president gave, were not considered fully informative and cooperative and helpful. And on top of that, I think, you know, in a lot of ways, the decision was made not to force the president to testify in person only because it would have delayed the investigation for such a long time, because the White House would have simply refused to do that, and it would have been sent to the courts, and it would have been probably another year to 2 years of delay before it's ultimately resolved. And so that was part of the calculation, I believe, for the special counsel. But this was not a case of a president who was fully cooperating in every way. And again, going back to the obstruction section, it's clearly a case of a president not fully cooperating in every way, even if we do not end up with charges of obstruction out of this from the special counsel.
Let's go back to the phones, and Mike in Madison is up. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I think our biggest concern is we spent all this time playing partisan politics and pitting citizen against citizen that we've forgotten the real issue that started all of this, which is Russia manipulated our social media and hacked our election. And it's now been over 2 years and we have done nothing about it at all.
Thanks for that comment, Mike. Lowell?
I agree strongly with Mike in a lot of ways. I think there's more to it just than that, and I'll come back to that in a second. But clearly the central part of this in the first place was really to highlight what Russia did. And this is something that, in fact, should unify us, in that it is something that's not in dispute by Democrats or Republicans. It's not in dispute in the report. And, in fact, the report details, in some cases really with painful detail in a lot of ways in terms of how specified it is, about what Russia did and the efforts that it was taking. So I think that Mike is absolutely right. We need to not only always have that in mind, but to be thinking about it as we move forward to future elections, that Russia learns from things it does in the past and then and takes new takes on it the next time. And they are already learning from what we have discovered about what they did to try to do new things. And that is something we need to be ready for. I would say there are things that we do need to have more detail about. And back to actually a point that Cole made before about that Mueller specifically mentioned that Congress has a role, or at least has a right to have a role here on the question of obstruction. And I think that's a really important point because, again, what Mueller said about obstruction was that there are difficult issues that need to be resolved if there was going to be a kind of traditional prosecutorial judgment, was the wording he used. And basically what he was saying is we weren't going to resolve those quickly right now, but then really came down and said, but in fact, this is the kind of thing that Congress could look at. And again, that he's also saying it does not exonerate the president at this point to not charge him. So I think there's a lot we still need to look at and take from this beyond the Russia involvement. But I also really agree with Mike. We need to not forget what Russia has done and is continuing to do and will continue to try to do.
We're running a little short on time, but a listener, Tony in Pardeeville, said that if anything illegal had happened, we would have gotten that information by now. Would you agree that at this point, Lowell, there's nothing to see?
I wouldn't say it that way. I think that, again, on certain things based on the standards that were laid out, I think we would agree that on the things laid out in the report that there were not criminal charges made. But again, there's a role for further investigations from Congress on obstruction. And again, the other thing about that statement is that when Mueller himself has referred information to 14 different investigations, and that's only ones that he referred to. So that's not the additional ones that have been developed on their own without his assistance. There clearly is a lot of investigations still to come on possible criminal action. And as you know, we've been talking about for a very long time in our different conversations that financial crimes from the start were a concern for me. And I think that that is an area that, again, Mueller did not mention in the report in any significant way at all. And I'm sure that is at least a part of those 14 investigations.
I believe Attorney General Barr is expected to appear before Congress. I know that Democrats in Congress also want to hear directly from Robert Mueller. It does not seem like today's release is the end of the story, Lowell.
No, I don't think so. And I actually think Mueller testifying would be a good thing down the road. And I think it may not happen immediately. I would imagine it may happen once he steps back from his position and is away from the Justice Department for a little while. But clearly it's important to see how he characterizes the report and perhaps also how he characterizes Barr and his handling of the report.
Well, Lowell, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Judith.
Lowell Barrington is an associate professor and chair of the Political Science Department at Marquette University. We talked with him about the release of the redacted but full Mueller report today. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, former oil and gas lobbyist David Bernhardt has been confirmed to lead the U.S. Interior Department. We'll find out who he is and what his priorities are. And few things are tastier than a grilled cheese sandwich. Tomorrow on Food Friday, we'll talk about how to make a great one and some tasty variations.